Section 17, Laboring for Special Classes.
Working for All Classes. Subheading, Preach the Truth to All Classes. The gospel invitation is to be given to the rich and the poor, the high and the low, and we must devise means for carrying the truth into new places and to all classes of people. Medical Ministry, page 312, 18 and 99. Subheading, Give Them an Opportunity to Understand. Let none receive the idea that the poor and unlearned are to be neglected. Right methods of labor will not in any sense exclude these. It was one of the evidences of Christ's messiahship that the poor had the gospel preached to them. We should study to give all classes an opportunity to understand the special truths for this time. Review and Herald, November 25, 1890. Subheading, A Saving Message for Every Soul. Many have a deep sense of need, a need that earthly riches or pleasures cannot supply, but they know not how to receive that for which they are longing. The gospel of Christ is from the beginning to end the gospel of saving grace. It is a distinctive and controlling idea. It will be a help to the needy, light for the eyes that are blind to the truth, and a guide to souls seeking for the true foundation. Full and everlasting salvation is within the reach of every soul. Christ is waiting and longing to speak pardon and impart the freely offered grace. He is watching, waiting, saying, as he said to the blind man at the gate of Jericho, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I will take away thy sins. I will wash you in my blood. In all the highways of life there are souls to be saved. The blind are groping in darkness. Give them the light, and God will bless you as his laborers. Letter 60, 1903. Subheading, Plans for the High Classes Will Reach All. Bring your minds up to the greatness of the work. Your narrow plans, your limited ideas, are not to come into your methods of working. There must be reform on this point, and there will be more means brought in to enable the work to be brought up to the high and exalted position it should ever occupy. There will be men who have means who will discern something of the character of the work, although they have not the courage to lift the cross and to bear the reproach that attends unpopular truth. First, reach the high classes if possible, but there should be no neglect of the lower classes. But it has been the case that the plans and the efforts have been so shaped in many fields that the lower classes are the only ones who can be reached. But methods may be devised to reach the higher classes who need the light of truth as well as the lower classes. These see the truth, but they are, as it were, in the slavery of poverty and see starvation before them should they accept the truth. Plan to reach the best classes, and you will not fail to reach the lower classes. Letter 14, 1887. Subheading, Converted Talent and Influence. God's servants are not to exhaust their time and strength and work for those whose whole lifetime has been devoted to the service of Satan till the entire being is corrupted. As the outcasts come, and they will come as they came to Christ, we are to forbid them not. But God calls for workers to reach those of the higher classes who, if converted, could in turn work for those of their own standing. He desires to see converted talent and converted influence enlisted in his work. The Lord is working upon men and women of talent and influence, leading them to connect with those who are giving the last message of mercy to the world. Manuscript 6, 1902. Subheading, Paul's Methods Reached All Nations and People. Paul, in his journeys, combined home and foreign missions. Now he is preaching to the Jews in their own place of worship. Now he is preaching to the Gentiles before their own temple and in the very presence of their gods. Nor does Paul proclaim to the Jews a Messiah whose work is to destroy the old dispensation, but a Messiah who came to develop the whole Jewish economy in accordance with the truth. Those of the disciples who carried the word of the truth the widest were ready to stand the test of any interview with those who remain close at home. Here Christianity obtained a decided victory, and the high, elevated stand was taken by the converted Jews that Christianity and salvation were for all nations, tongues, and peoples upon the face of the earth. Letter 17, 1900. Heading, Reaching Men of Means and Influence. Subheading, Give the Call to Leaders in Business and Government. The call to be given in the highways is to proclaim to all who have an active part in the world's work, to the teachers and leaders of the people, those who bear heavy responsibilities in public life, physicians and teachers, lawyers and judges, public officers and businessmen, should be given a clear, distinct message. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 78, 1900. Subheading, Seek Out the Influential. Those who belong to the higher ranks of society are to be sought out with tender affection and brotherly regard. Men in business life, in high positions of trust, men with large inventive faculties and scientific insight, men of genius, teachers of the gospel whose minds have not been called to the special truths for this time, these should be the first to hear the call. Christ's Object Lessons, page 230, 1900. We talk and write much of the neglected poor. Should not some attention be given also to the neglected rich? Many look upon this class as hopeless, and they do little to open the eyes of those who, blinded and dazed by the power of Satan, have lost eternity out of their reckoning. Thousands of wealthy men have gone to their graves unwarned because they have been judged by appearance and passed by as hopeless subjects. But, indifferent as they may appear, I have been shown that most of this class are soul-burdened. There are thousands of rich men who are starved for spiritual food. Many in official life feel their need of something which they have not. Few among them go to church, for they feel that they receive no benefit. The teaching they hear does not touch the soul. Shall we make no personal effort in their behalf? Testimonies, Volume 6, page 78, 1900. Subheading, Workers of Intelligence to Reach Higher Classes. There has not been the effort made that should have been made to reach the higher classes. While we are to preach the gospel to the poor, we are also to present it in the most attractive light to those who have ability and talent, and make far more wise, determined, God-fearing efforts than have hitherto been made to win them to the truth. But in order to do this, all the workers will have to keep themselves up to a high level of intelligence. They cannot do this work and sink down to a low, common level, feeling that it does not much matter how they labor or what they say, since they are working for the poor and ignorant classes. They will have to sharpen up and be armed and equipped in order to present the truth intelligently and to reach the higher classes. Their minds must rise higher and show greater strength and clearness. One reason why efforts have not heretofore been made for the higher classes as I have presented before you is a lack of faith and real courage in God. Manuscript 14, 1887. Subheading, With a Hook Properly Baited. The intelligent, the refined, are altogether too much passed by. The hook is not baited to catch this class, and ways and means are not prayerfully devised to reach them with truth that is able to make them wise unto salvation. Most generally, the fashionable, the wealthy, the proud, understand by experience that happiness is not to be secured by the amount of money that they possess, or by costly edifices and ornamental furniture and pictures. They want something they have not. But this class are attracted toward each other, and it is hard to find access to them. And because of this, many are perishing in their sins who have longed for something that will give them rest and peace and quietude of mind. They need Jesus, the light of righteousness. There is a certain round of labor performed in a certain way that leaves a large class untouched. The rich, left alone without any effort to save them, become shut up more and more to their own ideas. Their own train of thoughts and associations lose eternity out of their reckoning. They grow more proud and selfish, hard-hearted and unimpressible, suspicious that everyone wants to get money, while the poor are envious of the rich, who need pity rather than to be envied. Bring these all under the power of saving truth, and the work of the upbuilding of the kingdom of God will go forward with much greater success. Manuscript 66, 1894. Subheading, Charmed by Scripture Truth. Men in high positions of trust in the world will be charmed by a plain, straightforward, scriptural statement of truth. Letter 111, 1904. Subheading, avoid sharp arguments. Great men, learned men, can be reached better by the simplicity of a godly life than by all the sharp arguments that may be poured upon them. Good impressions will be given when religion is full of vitality, which will give life and progress. Where the precious seed of truth finds lodgment in the heart through the workings of the Spirit of Christ, the receiver will discover the sinfulness of human passions, vanities, and ignorance. All these must be cleansed from the soul temple and the grace of God become an abiding principle. Then all the principles of truth bloom in the garden of God: humility, meekness, patience, and love. Letter 6B, 1890. Subheading, present truth in figures and parables. The truth is to be presented in various ways. Some in the higher walks of life will grasp it as it is presented in figures and parables. Medical Ministry, page 318, 1905. Subheading, drawn by the simplicity of the gospel. Even the great men are more easily drawn by the simplicity of the gospel than by any effort made in human power. We need more of God and far less of self. God will work through the weakest human agent who is charged with the Spirit. Letter 72, 1899. Subheading, the talent of intellect and means. We are to do special work for those who are in high positions of trust. The Lord calls upon those to whom he has entrusted his goods to use in his service their talents of intellect and of means. Some will be impressed by the Holy Spirit to invest the Lord's means in a way that will advance his work. They will fulfill his purpose by helping to create centers of influence in our large cities. Our workers should represent before these men a plain statement of our needs. Let them know what we need in order to help the poor and needy and to establish the work on a firm basis. Medical Ministry, page 329, 1900. Subheading, work for men like Cornelius. From the case of Cornelius, we may learn a lesson that we would do well to understand. The God of heaven sends his messengers to the earth to set in operation a train of circumstances which will bring Peter into connection with Cornelius, that Cornelius may learn the truth. Through angel ministration, Peter is brought into cooperation with the inquiring souls who have all things in readiness to hear the truth and receive advanced light. The conversion of Cornelius and his household was the only first fruits of a harvest to be gathered in from the world. From this household, a widespread work of grace was carried on in a heathen city. Letter 17, 1900. There needs to be a waking up of God's people, that his work may be carried forward with power. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that God will add to the ranks of his people men of ability and influence who are to act their part in warning the world. All in the world are not lawless and sinful. God has many thousands who have not bowed the knee to Baal. There are God-fearing men in the fallen churches. If this were not so, we should have been given the message to bear. Babylon the Great is fallen. Come out of her, my people. The gospel is to be proclaimed in our cities. Men of learning and influence are to hear the message. Not only white men, but colored men of ability are to accept the faith. These are to work for their own people, and they are to be supported in doing the work the Lord desires to have done. Much more prayer, much more Christ-likeness, much more conformity to God's will is to be brought into God's work. Outward show, an extravagant outlay of means, will not accomplish the work to be done. Many are grasping for breath of life from heaven. They will recognize the gospel when it is brought to them in a way that God designs it to be brought. Into the busy world, filled with the din of commerce and the altercation of trade, where men were trying selfishly to get all they could for self, Christ came. And above the confusion, his voice, like the trump of God, was heard. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Christ points men to the nobler world, which they have lost out of their reckoning, and declares that the only city that will endure is the city whose builder and maker is God. He shows them the household of heaven, flushed with God's living glory, and assures them that the heavenly treasures are for those who overcome. He calls upon them to strive with sanctified ambition to secure the immortal inheritance. He urges them to lay up their treasure beside the throne of God. Then, instead of taxing themselves almost beyond endurance to gain earthly riches, they will work with all the powers of body and mind for Christ. By using their talent of means to win souls to Him, they will be doing a work of more importance than any other work in the world. There are among the moneyed men of the world those who will heed the message of warning. Charge them that are rich in this world that they will not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up the store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Letter 51, 1902. Subheading, Kings and Governors Must Hear. The light is to be brought before kings and before the great men of the earth, although they may receive it in the same manner in which Pharaoh received the testimony of the servants of the Lord and asked, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Kings, governors, and great men will hear of you through the reports of those who are at enmity with you, and your faith and character will be misrepresented before them. But those who are falsely accused will have an opportunity to appear in the presence of their accusers to answer for themselves. They will have the privilege of bringing the light before those who are called the great men of the earth. And if you have studied the Bible, if you are ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, your enemies will not be able to gainsay your wisdom. Review and Herald, April 26, 1892. Subheading, Warning National Leaders. The rulers of the nations need to plant their feet upon the platform of eternal truth. They should not be allowed, because of ignorance, to build their houses on the sand. These men are not to be worshipped as gods. They are accountable to God for their course of action. To Him they must answer if they become a savor of death unto death to those who are under their jurisdiction. Letter 187, 1903. Subheading, The Dangers of Prosperity. In the history of men, we learn how dangerous is prosperity. It is not the men who have lost their money and their property who are in the greatest danger, but those who have obtained a fortune and are placed in the high position. These need careful, earnest labor. Adversity may depress, but prosperity elevates to presumption. Prayers are often requested for men and women in affliction, and this is as it should be. But the most earnest prayer should be solicited for those who are placed in a prosperous position. These men are in the greatest danger of losing the soul. In the valley of humiliation, we can walk securely, while we reverence God and make Him our trust. On the lofty pinnacle, where praise is heard, where our wisdom and greatness are extolled, we need a special power, a special arm to sustain us. This is the light in which we should regard those not of our faith. The men who are exalted and praised need greater help in the simplicity of Christ than they receive. They need more earnest, persevering prayer that they may be saved from destruction. Letter 72, 1899. Heading, Ministers of Other Denominations. Subheading, Draw Near to Ministers of Other Faiths. Our ministers should seek to come near to the ministers of other denominations. Pray for and with these men, for whom Christ is interceding. A solemn responsibility is theirs. As Christ's messengers, we should manifest a deep, earnest interest in the shepherds of the flock. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 78, 1900. Subheading, Importance of Working for Other Ministers. The wisest, firmest labor should be given to those ministers who are not of our faith. There are many who know no better than to mislead by ministers of other churches. Let faithful, God-fearing, earnest workers their life hid with Christ and God, pray and work for honest ministers who have been educated to misrepresent the word of life. Our ministers are to make it their special work to labor for ministers. They're not to get into controversy with them, but with the Bible in their hand, urge them to study the word. If this is done, there are many ministers now preaching error who will preach the truth for this time. Letter 72, 1899. Subheading, why should they be neglected? Much has been lost by a people through following such narrow plans that the more intelligent, better educated classes are not reached. Too often the work has been so conducted as to impress unbelievers that it is of very little consequence. Some stray offshoot of religious enthusiasm, entirely beneath their notice. Much has been lost for want of wise methods of labor. Every effort should be made to give character and dignity to the work. It requires much wisdom to reach ministers and men of influence, but why should they be neglected as they have been by our people? These men are responsible to God just as in proportion to the talents entrusted them. Where much is given, much will be required. Should there not be deeper study and much more prayer for wisdom that we may learn how to reach these classes? Should not wisdom and tact be used to gain these souls who, if truly converted, will be polished instruments in the hands of God to reach others? If we can win to Christ and truth souls to whom God has entrusted large capabilities, our influence will, through them, be constantly extending and will become a far-reaching power for good. God has a work to be done which the workers have not yet fully comprehended. Ministers and the world's wise men are to be tested by the light of present truth. The third angel's message is to be set before them judiciously in its true dignity. There must be most earnest seeking of God, most thorough study, for the mental powers will be taxed to the utmost in laying plans which will place the work of God on a more elevated platform. That is where it should always have stood, but men's narrow ideas and restricted plans have limited and lowered it. Review and Herald, November 25, 1890. Subheading, Not All Will Accept Truth. After the most earnest efforts have been made to bring the truth before those whom God has entrusted with large responsibilities, be not discouraged if they reject the truth. They did the same in the days of Christ. Be sure to keep up the dignity of the work by well-ordered plans and a godly conversation. Do not think you have elevated the standard too high. Letter 12, 1887. Subheading, Speaking in Other Churches. You may have opportunity to speak in other churches. In improving these opportunities, remember the words of the Savior. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Do not arouse the malignity of the enemy by making denunciatory speeches. Thus we'll close doors against the entrance of truth. Clear-cut messages are to be borne, but guard against arousing antagonism. There are many souls to be saved. Restrain all harsh expressions. In word and deed be wise unto salvation, representing Christ to all with whom you come in contact. Let all see that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and goodwill to men. Wonderful are the results we shall see if we enter into the work imbued with the Spirit of God. Help will come in our necessity if we carry the work forward in righteousness, mercy, and love. Truth will triumph and bear away the victory. Manuscript 6, 1902. Heading, Laboring for the Middle Class, subheading, A Group More Easily Reached. Then there is another class more easily reached. Many of them are more worthy than the wealthiest, for those who are rich have not all obtained their riches by the strictest principles of integrity. There are those who would not sacrifice principle or strict honesty to possess any amount of means. This is the class that, if the truth were presented to them in wisdom, would receive it and be reliable workers together with God. The laborer, through the wisdom given of God, will work in such a way as to draw these parties together in Christ Jesus. Manuscript 66, 1894. Subheading, How Can We Reach Them? And how can we reach the common people? Christ tried to work with the highest dignitaries of the nation, but they would not receive him because he told them the truth. They had exalted ideas of their own piety. They would not be instructed. They thought their work was to instruct others, not to be instructed themselves. But of the poor, the scriptures testify, the common people heard him gladly. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Manuscript 125, 1897. Subheading, Christ met their minds. We may do much in a short time if we will work as Christ worked. We may reflect with profit upon his manner of teaching. He sought to meet the minds of the common people. His style was plain, simple, comprehensive. He took us illustrations from the scenes with which his hearers were most familiar. By the things of nature, he illustrated truths of eternal importance, thus connecting heaven and earth. Manuscript 24, 1903. Subheading, Study Christ's Simplicity. The Savior came to preach the gospel to the poor. In his teaching, he used the simplest terms and the plainest symbols, and it is said that the common people heard him gladly. Those who are seeking to do his will for this time need a deeper insight into the lessons he has given. Ministry of Healing, page 443, 1905. Subheading, Lord's People, Mainly Common People. The Lord's people are mainly made up of the poor of this world, the common people. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble to call. God hath chosen the poor of this world. The poor have the gospel preached to them. The wealthy are called, in one sense. They are invited, but they do not accept the invitation. But in these wicked cities the Lord has many who are humble and yet trustful. Manuscript 17, 1898. Subheading, If God's Light is Cherished. There is no caste with God. He ignores everything of the kind. All souls are of value with him. Laboring for the salvation of the soul is employment worthy of the highest honor. It matters not what may be the form of our labor or among what class, whether high or low. In God's sight, these distinctions will not affect its true worth. The sincere, earnest, contrite soul, however ignorant, is precious in the sight of the Lord. He places his own signet upon men, judging not by their rank, not by their wealth, not by their intellectual greatness, but by their oneness with Christ. The unlearned, the outcast, the slave, if he has made the most of his opportunities and privileges, if he has cherished the light given him of God, has done all that is required. The world may call him ignorant, but God calls him wise and good, and thus his name stands registered in the books of heaven. God will fit him up to do him honor, not only in heaven, but on earth. Gospel Workers, page 332, 1915. Heading, Working for Fallen Humanity. Subheading, Fallen Humanity Our Field. The indolent, the tobacco devotees, and liquor drinkers are many. But the truth must go to them. It has worked wonders in this very place, Australia, and will still do great things. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in present truth must not abide alone with those who receive Christ. Christ died to save the world, and we are to work more zealously in acting our part. We are to look upon fallen humanity as our field. God cares for them. Not one soul is to be left in darkness. Letter 76, 1899. Subheading, Some Degraded Rich to be Saved. Our large cities are fast reaching the conditions represented by the condition of the world before the flood, when God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God-dishonoring sins are practiced by people living in lordly homes. But some of these very people, under the preaching of the last testing message, will be convicted and converted. From his inexhaustible store of grace, God can endow all who come to him. Looking upon humanity, fallen and degraded, he declares that the Holy Spirit shall be poured out upon all flesh. Many who have never heard the special truths for this time will feel the conviction of the Spirit as they listen to the message of startling importance. God will raise up workers who will occupy peculiar spheres of influence, workers who will carry the truth to the most unpromising places. Men will say, yea, where once they said nay. Some who were once enemies will become valuable helpers, advancing the work with their means and their influence. Review and Herald, September 30, 1902. Subheading, Work for the Fallen. Nothing will or ever can give character to the work and the presentation of truth as that of helping the people just where they are, as the Samaritan work. A work properly conducted to save poor sinners that have been passed by the churches will be the entering wedge where the truth will find standing room. A different order of things needs to be established among us as a people. And in doing this class of work, there would be created an entirely different atmosphere surrounding the soul of the workers, for the Holy Spirit communicates to all those who are doing God's service, and those who are worked by the Holy Spirit will be a power for good in lifting up, strengthening, and saving the souls that are ready to perish. Manuscript 14A, 1897. Subheading, To Keep People from Becoming Abandoned. We are to use our means and our talents of influence in proclaiming the truth that will keep people from becoming abandoned. If we will take up the work the Lord has given us to do, the truth will reach many of this class in various ways. But we are not to neglect the lines of work that the Lord has especially directed us to carry forward. All classes are to be reached. If those who labor for the abandoned and fallen would work in the fear of the Lord, striving to make those for whom they labor understand what is truth, many of these outcasts would be distinguished as children of God. Letter 143, 1904. Subheading, Selection of Workers for the Outcasts. Great care should be taken in working for the outcasts. Neither young men nor young women should be sent into the lowest places of our cities. The sight of the eyes and the hearing of the ears of young men and women should be kept from evil. There is much that the youth can do for the master. If they will watch and pray and make God their trust, they will be prepared to do various kinds of excellent work under the supervision of experienced laborers. Medical Ministry, page 312, 1901. Heading, The Stranger in Our Midst. Subheading, Reaching All Nationalities, Ranks, and Creeds. Christ recognized no distinction of nationality or rank or creed. The scribes and Pharisees desired to make a local and national benefit of the gifts of heaven and to exclude the rest of God's family in the world. But Christ came to break down every wall of partition. He came to show that his gift of mercy and love is as unconfined as the air, the light, or the showers of the rain that refresh the earth. Ministry of Healing, page 25, 1905. Subheading, Strangers in a Strange Land. In the courts and lanes of the great cities, in the lonely byways of the country, are families and individuals, perhaps strangers in a strange land, who are without church relations and who, in their loneliness, come to feel that God has forgotten them. They do not understand what they must do to be saved. Many are sunken in sin. Many are in distress. They are oppressed with suffering, want, unbelief, despondency. Disease of every type afflicts them both in body and in soul. They long to find a solace for their troubles, and Satan tempts them to seek it in lusts and pleasures that lead to ruin and death. He is offering them the apples of Sodom that will turn to ashes upon their lips. They are spending their money for that which is not bread, and their labor for that which satisfieth not. Christ's Object Lessons, pages 232, 233, 1900. Subheading, God's Purpose for the Strangers in Our Land. While plans are being carried out to warn the inhabitants of various nations and distant lands, much must be done in behalf of the foreigners who have come to the shores of our own land. The souls in China are no more precious than the souls within the shadow of our doors. God's people are to labor faithfully in distant lands, as His providence may open the way. And they are also to fulfill their duty toward the foreigners of various nationalities in the cities and villages and country districts close by. It is well that those in responsibility are now planning wisely to proclaim the third angel's message to the hundreds of thousands of foreigners in America. God desires his servants to do their full duty toward the unwarned millions of the cities, and especially toward those who have come to the cities in our land from the nations of earth. Many of these foreigners are here in the providence of God, that they may have opportunity to hear the truth for this time. Great benefits would come to the cause of God in the regions beyond if faithful effort were put forth in behalf of the foreigners in the cities of our homeland. Among these men and women are some who, upon accepting the truth, could soon be fitted to labor for their own people in this country and in other countries. Many might return to the place from which they came in the hope of winning their friends to the truth. They could search out their kinsfolk and neighbors and communicate to them a knowledge of the third angel's message. Review and Herald, October 29, 1914. Subheading, a means of extending the work to all nations. God would be pleased to see far more accomplished by his people in the presentation of the truth for this time to the foreigners in America than has been done in the past. As I've testified for years, if we were quick in discerning the opening providences of God, we should be able to see in the multiplying opportunities to reach many foreigners in America a divinely appointed means of rapidly extending the third angel's message into all the nations of earth. God in his providence has brought men to our very doors and thrust them, as it were, into our arms, that they might learn the truth and be qualified to do a work we could not do in getting the light before men of other tongues. There is a great work before us. The world is to be warned. The truth is to be translated into many languages, that all nations may enjoy its pure, life-giving influence. This work calls for the exercise of all the talents that God has entrusted to our keeping, the pen, the press, the voice, the purse, and the sanctified affections of the soul. Christ has made us ambassadors to make known his salvation to the children of men. And if we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ and are filled with the joy of his indwelling spirit, we shall not be able to hold our peace. Review and Herald, October 29, 1914. Subheading, Within the Shadow of Our Doors. The message must be given to the thousands of foreigners living in these cities in the home field. Who feels heavenly burdened to see the message proclaimed in greater New York and in the many other cities as yet unworked? Not all the means that can be gathered up is to be sent from America to distant lands, while in the home fields there exist such providential opportunities to present the truth to millions who have not heard it. Among these millions are the representatives of many nations, many of whom are prepared to receive the message. Much remains to be done within the shadow of our doors in the cities of California, New York, and many other states. Wake up. Wake up, my brethren and sisters, and enter the fields in America that have never been worked. After you have given something for foreign fields, do not think your duty is done. There is a work to be done in the foreign fields, but there is work to be done in America that is just as important. In the cities of America, there are people of almost every language. These need the light that God has given to his church. Testimonies, Volume 8, pages 34 to 36, 1904. We rejoice that the efforts put forth by the pioneer workers among foreign nationalities in the United States and Canada have borne a rich harvest of souls. Review and Herald, October 29, 1914. Subheading, City Bases for Foreign Work. We drove out to see the newly established Swedish mission on Oak Street in Chicago. There we were shown a building in which our Swedish brethren, under the leadership of Elder Blank, have recently purchased for the headquarters of their work in Chicago. The building presents a good appearance. In the basement, they have a well-equipped vegetarian restaurant. On the first floor, there is a pleasant, commodious hall for meetings, comfortably seated for a congregation of about 150, and the two upper stories are rented to lodgers. I was indeed glad to see this evidence of progress in the Swedish work in Chicago. There is a great work to be done for the people of all nations in the large cities in America, and such rallying points as this may be a great help in the matter of gaining the attention of the people and in the training of workers. In every large city of America, there are people of different nationalities who must hear the message for this time. I long to see evidence that the lines of work which the Lord has marked are out of being disinterestedly taken up. A work similar to that which is being done in Chicago for the Swedish people should be done in many places. Review and Herald, February 9, 1905. Subheading, Careful Methods to be Employed. There was one man who has been laboring in blank, and we labored with him and sought most earnestly to help him to take hold of the work, not as a fighter, contending and debating, as was his habit, driving people away from the truth rather than into it. He saw we talked the truth, not with storm, not pelting the people with denunciations like hailstones. This brother said he had received much light and would labor in altogether a different manner than he had done. The blank are an excitable people. They will bring every power to bear suddenly, and under great excitement will exclaim, Is this so? What will you do? Will you keep the Sabbath? Say yes or no. They are as sharp as a razor and cut off the ears of the people, and that is the end of the business so far as converting them to the truth is concerned. Now we have to work with these men who are really intelligent, just as we work with them one by one in the infancy of the Seventh-day Adventist work, separating from these precious souls their unsanctified ways of manners, talking to them about Jesus, his great love, his meekness, his lowliness, his self-denial. These rough stones we bring, if possible, into the workshop of God, where they will be hewed and squared and all the rough edges removed, and they shall be polished under the divine hand until they will make precious stones in the temple of God, and shall be living stones emitting light. Thus we may grow up into a holy temple for God. Letter 44, 1886. Subheading, Publications in Every Language. To give all nations the message of warning, this is to be the object of our efforts. From city to city and from country to country, they are to carry the publications containing the promise of the Savior's soon coming. These publications are to be translated into every language. For all the world, the gospel is to be preached. Review and Herald, February 9, 1905. Heading, Reaching Catholics. Subheading, Guiding Our Approaches. We should not, upon entering a place, build up unnecessary barriers between us and other denominations, especially the Catholics, so that they shall think we are their avowed enemies. We should not create a prejudice in their minds unnecessarily by making a raid upon them. From that which God has shown me, a great number will be saved from among the Catholics. Manuscript 14, 1887. Subheading, A Cautious Work. Be cautious in your labors, brethren, not to assail the prejudices of the people too strongly. There should be no going out of the way to attack other denominations, for it only creates a combative spirit and closes ears and hearts to the entrance of the truth. We have our work to do, which is not to tear down, but to build up. We are to repair the breach that has been made in the law of God. It is the nobler work to build up, to present the truth in its force and power, and let it cut its way through prejudice and reveal error in contrast with truth. There is danger that our ministers will say too much against the Catholics and provoke against themselves the strongest prejudices of their church. There are many souls in the Roman Catholic faith who are looking with interest to this people, but the power of the priest over his charges is great, and if he can prejudice the people by his stay-away arguments, so that when the truth is uttered against the fallen churches, they may not hear it, he will surely do it. But as laborers together with God, we are provided with spiritual weapons mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. Letter 39, 1887. Subheading, Avoid Unkind Thrusts. Let not those who write for our papers make unkind thrusts and allusions that will certainly do harm, and they will hedge up the way and hinder us from doing the work that we should do in order to reach all classes, the Catholics included. It is our work to speak the truth in love, and not to mix in the truth, the unsanctified elements of the natural heart, and speak things that savor of the same spirit possessed by our enemies. All sharp thrusts will come back upon us in double measure when the heart is in the hands of those who can exercise it for our injury. Over and over, the message has been given to me that we may not say one word, not to publish one sentence, especially by way of personalities, unless positively essential in vindicating the truth that will stir up our enemies against us and arouse their passions to a white heat. It is true that we are commanded to cry aloud, "Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." Isaiah 58:1. This message must be given, but while it must be given, we should be careful not to thrust and crowd and condemn those who have not the light that we have. We should not go out of our way to make hard thrusts at the Catholics. Among the Catholics, there are many who are most conscientious Christians and who walk in all the light that shines upon them, and God will work in their behalf. Those who have had great privileges and opportunities and who have failed to improve their physical, mental, and moral powers, but who have lived to please themselves and have refused to bear the responsibility, are in greater danger and in greater condemnation before God than those who are in error upon doctrinal points, yet who seek to live to do good to others. Do not censure others. Do not condemn them. Testimonies, Volume 9, pages 241 to 244, 1909. Subheading, Shutting the Door in Their Faces. Preach the truth, but restrain the words which show a harsh spirit, for such words cannot help or enlighten anyone. The Echo is a paper that should be circulated largely. Do not do anything that would hinder its sale. There is no reason why it should not be as a light shining in a dark place. But for Christ's sake, heed the admonitions which have been given in regard to making scathing remarks against the Catholics. Many Catholics read the Echo, and among the number there are honest souls who will accept the truth. But there is such a thing as shutting the door in their faces as they are about to enter. Put more cheering testimonies of thanksgiving into the Echo. Do not hedge up its way and prevent it from going to all parts of the world by making it a medium for hard expressions. Satan rejoices when one word of bitterness is found on its pages. Counsels to Editors, page 45, 1896. Subheading, Expose Fallacy by Presenting Truth. Decided proclamations are to be made. But in regard to this line of work, I am instructed to say to our people, be guarded. In bearing the message, make no personal thrust at other churches, not even the Roman Catholic Church. Angels of God see in the different denominations many who can be reached only by the greatest caution. Therefore, let us be careful of our words. Let not our ministers follow their own impulses in denouncing and exposing the mysteries of iniquity. Upon these themes, silence is eloquence. Many are deceived. Speak the truth in tones and words of love. Let Christ be exalted. Keep to the affirmative of truth. Never let the straight path God has marked out for the purpose of giving someone a thrust. That thrust may do much harm and no good. It may quench conviction in many minds. Let the Word of God, which is in all truth, tell the story of the inconsistency of those in error. People cannot be expected to see at once the advantage of the truth over the error they have cherished. The best way to expose the fallacy of error is to present the evidences of truth. This is the greatest rebuke that can be given to error. Dispel the cloud of darkness resting on minds by reflecting the bright light of the Sun of Righteousness. Manuscript 6, 1902. Subheading, We May Have Less to Say. There is need of a much closer study of the Word of God, especially should Daniel and the Revelation have attention as never before in the history of our work. We may have less to say in some lines in regard to the Roman power and the papacy, but we should call attention to what the prophets and apostles have written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has so shaped matters, both in the giving of the prophecy and in the events portrayed, as to teach that the human agent is to be kept out of sight, hid in Christ, and the Lord of heaven and his law are to be exalted. Counsels to Editors, pages 45, 46, 1896. Subheading, Pictured Truth Appeals to Catholics. Elder S. is arousing a good interest by his meetings. People of all classes come out to hear, and to see the life-size images that he has of the beasts of Revelation. A great many Catholics come to hear him. Much of his preaching is in the words of the Bible. He uses as few of his own words as possible. So if his hearers war against what he says, they war against the Word of God. Letter 352, 1906. None need to feel that the Catholics are beyond their reach. Manuscript 14, 1887. Heading, A Large Harvest from the Jews. Subheading, Jews Being Numbered with the Israel of God. In this odd day, we see the Gentiles beginning to rejoice with the Jews. There are converted Jews who are now laboring in blank and in various other cities on behalf of their own people. The Jews are coming into the ranks of God's chosen followers and are being numbered with the Israel of God in these last closing days. Thus some of the Jews will once more be reinstated with the people of God, and the blessings of the Lord will rest upon them richly if they will come into the position of rejoicing that is represented in the Scripture. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. Manuscript 95, 1906. Subheading, Many Will Come to the Light. There is a mighty work to be done in our world. The Lord has declared that the Gentiles shall be gathered in, and not the Gentiles only, but the Jews. There are among the Jews many who will be converted, and through whom we shall see the salvation of God go forth as a lamp that burneth. There are Jews everywhere, and to them the light of present truth is to be brought. There are among them many who will come to the light, and who will proclaim the immutability of the law of God with wonderful power. The Lord God will work. He will do wonderful things in righteousness. Manuscript 87, 1907. Subheading, The Jews of Many Lands. It has been a strange thing to me that there were so few who felt a burden to labor for the Jewish people who are scattered throughout so many lands. Christ will be with you as you strive to strengthen your perceptive faculties, that you may more clearly behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The slumbering faculties of the Jewish people are to be aroused. The Old Testament scriptures, blending with the new, will be to them as the dawning of the new creation, or as the resurrection of the soul. Memory will be awakened as Christ is seen portrayed in the pages of the Old Testament. Souls will be saved from the Jewish nation as the doors of the New Testament are unlocked with the key of the Old Testament. Christ will be recognized as the Savior of the world, as it is seen how clearly the New Testament explains the Old. Many of the Jewish people will by faith receive Christ as their Redeemer. Letter 47, 1903. Subheading, Converting Jews in the Closing Work. There will be many converted from among the Jews, and these converts will aid in preparing the way of the Lord and making straight in the desert a highway for our God. Converted Jews are to have an important part to act in the great preparations to be made in the future to receive Christ our Prince. A nation shall be born in a day. How? By men whom God has appointed being converted to the truth. There will be first seen the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. The predictions of prophecy will be fulfilled. Manuscript 75, 1905. Heading, Child Evangelism. Subheading, Children Ready to Hear and Accept. In the children who are brought in contact with them, Jesus saw the men and women who should be heirs of his grace and subjects of his kingdom, and some of whom would become martyrs for his sake. He knew that these children would listen to him and accept him as their Redeemer far more readily than would grown-up people, many of whom were the worldly wise and hard-hearted. In teaching, he came down to their level. He, the Majesty of Heaven, answered their questions and simplified his important lessons to meet their childish understanding. He planted in their minds the seed of truth, which in after years would spring up and bear fruit unto eternal life. When Jesus told the disciples not to forbid the children to come to him, he was speaking to his followers in all ages, to officers of the church, ministers, helpers, and all Christians. Jesus is drawing the children, and he bids us suffer them to come, as if he would say, they will come, if you do not hinder them. Let not your unchristlike character misrepresent Jesus. Do not keep the little ones away from him by your coldness and harshness. Never give them cause to feel that heaven would not be a pleasant place to them if you were there. Do not speak of religion as something that children cannot understand, or act as if they were not expected to accept Christ in their childhood. Do not give them the false impression that the religion of Christ is a religion of gloom, and that in coming to the Savior, they must give up all that makes life joyful. As the Holy Spirit moves upon the hearts of the children, cooperate with his work. Teach them that the Savior is calling them, that nothing can afford him greater joy than for them to give themselves to him in the bloom and freshness of their years. The Savior regards with infinite tenderness the souls whom he has purchased with his blood. They are the claim of his love. He looks upon them with unutterable longing. His heart is drawn out not only to the best trained and most attractive children, but to those who by inheritance and through neglect have objectionable traits of character. Ministry of Healing, pages 42 to 44, 1905. Subheading, Early Impressions Influence Later Life. The lessons taught to children and youth make an impression upon their minds which influences their character in a far greater degree than older persons imagine. In my childhood, a minister who came to my father's house at Poland, Maine, read the chapter in Acts in regard to the deliverance of Peter when an angel of God took the prey from the enemy who had determined to destroy him. The chapter was read slowly and solemnly, and it made an impression on my young mind that has kept the narrative vividly before me to this day. Now, from the light given me of God, I know that as a people, we have not improved our opportunities for educating and training the youth. We should teach them how to read and understand the scriptures. Wherever there is a biblical institute for ministers and people, we should, in connection with it, organize a class for the youth. Their name should be registered. All should feel the importance of the scheme of educating the youth to understand the scriptures. Let the work be taken hold of in the very simplicity of the truth itself. Lead the minds of the youth from truth to truth, up higher and higher, showing them how Scripture interprets Scripture, one passage being the key to other passages. Thus the Scripture itself will be the educating power holding the thoughts in captivity to Christ. Letter 27A, 1892. Subheading, Children's Meetings and Evangelistic Efforts. The third angel is flying in the midst of heaven and bears on his banner the inscription, The Commandments of God and the Faith of Jesus. In every place where the tent is pitched, an earnest effort should be made from the first to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the sick. The work of giving spiritual sight to the blind has added many souls to our number of such as shall be saved. Meetings for the children should be held, not merely to educate and entertain them, but that they may be converted, and this will come to pass. If we exercise faith in God, we shall be enabled to point them to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. All who attend our large gatherings are to be labored for. The high and the low, the rich and the poor are to be reached by this class of labor. Manuscript 6, 1900. Subheading, Love Wins Children to Christ. By your manner of dealing with the little ones, you can, by the grace of Christ, mold their characters for everlasting life, or by a wrong course of action, you can give them the impress of a satanic character. Never act from impulse in governing children. Let authority and affection be blended. Cherish and cultivate all that is good and lovely, and lead them to desire the higher good by revealing Christ to them. While you deny them those things that would be an injury to them, let them see that you love them and want to make them happy. The more unlovely they are, the greater pains you should take to reveal your love for them. When the child has confidence that you want to make him happy, love will break every barrier down. This is the principle of the Savior's dealing with men. It is the principle that must be brought into the church. Letter 23A, 1893. Subheading, Well-Planned Effort for the Children. The interest here, Australia, in our camp meeting exceeds anything we have ever seen in any meeting in America or in any other country. Right through the holidays, with all their exciting amusements, we have had on weekdays as many as 1,200 people at the tent, earnest, intelligent people. Many children of outsiders come in. On last Sunday, there were about 400 in attendance at the children's meeting. These meetings are under the direction of Sister Blank. She has the children arranged in classes under appointed teachers, whom she instructs and assists in the work. The kindergarten methods are followed as far as possible. The money spent in gospel wagons would have been far better used if invested in something solid and abiding. It is true that the gospel wagons will accomplish some good, but I saw that there would be disappointments as to the final results. In contrast with this, another work was presented to my sight. Tents were being taken to different places during suitable seasons of the year. Camp meetings were being held in many localities. These were conducted by able, God-fearing men, assisted by suitable helpers. Children's meetings were held and revival meetings to bring the people to their stand for the truth. At this camp meeting, the very work that should be done has been done. The children's meetings, or Bible kindergarten, has done a good work. The lessons given are repeated by the children in their homes, and the mothers show their interest by preparing the children neatly for the school. Most are the children of parents, not of our faith. The seeds of Bible truth have dropped into the soil of the heart. It is no easy exercise, but it is doing good. Impressions are being made upon the hearts of parents and children. The good these meetings have done, the great day of God will reveal. This is a large field to cultivate. Let this work be carried on. Where can the talents be better used? These workers are sowing for a harvest. Men, women, and children are anxious to know what they shall do to inherit eternal life. Letter 2, 1899. Subheading, Nature Lessons. Children's meetings were held twice a day. After the morning lesson, on pleasant days, teachers and children took a long walk, and during the walk, by the banks of the river or in the grassy fields, a halt was called and a short lesson from nature given. It was noticeable that on those days when the children had a ramble in the fields, they were very quiet and orderly in the camp. The attendance at the morning meetings when only the children of the camp were present was 30. In the afternoon, when the school children from the neighborhood came in, they were from 50 to 60. Manuscript 27, 1895. Subheading, Reaching Parents Through Children. Our camp meetings are one of the most important agencies in our work. At every camp meeting, work should be done for the children. Let suitable workers be constantly educating the children. Ask the blessing of the Lord on the seed sown, and the conviction of the Spirit of God will take hold of even the little ones. Through the children, many parents will be reached. Manuscript 52, 1900. Heading, Those in the Tourist Centers. Subheading, Why Jesus Chose Capernaum. During his earthly ministry, the Savior took advantage of the opportunities to be found along the great thoroughfares of travel. It was at Capernaum that Jesus dwelt at the intervals of his journey to and fro, and it came to be known as his own city. This city was well adapted to be the center of the Savior's work. Being on the highway from Damascus to Jerusalem and Egypt to the Mediterranean Sea, it was a great thoroughfare of travel. People from many lands passed through the city or tarried for rest on their journeyings to and fro. Here Jesus could meet all nations and all ranks, the rich and the great, as well as the poor and lowly, and his lessons would be carried to other countries and to many households. Investigation of the prophecies would thus be excited. Attentions would be directed to the Savior, and his mission would be brought before the world. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 121, 1909. Subheading, To Arrest the Attention of the Multitude. In the world-renowned health resorts and centers of tourist traffic, crowded with many thousands of seekers after health and pleasure, there should be stationed ministers and canvassers capable of arresting the attention of the multitudes. Let these workers watch their chance for presenting the message for this time and hold meetings as they have opportunity. Let them be quick to seize opportunities to speak to the people. Accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit, let them meet the people with the message borne by John the Baptist. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3:2. The word of God is to be presented with clearness and power, that those who have ears to hear may hear the truth. Thus the gospel of present truth will be placed in the way of those who know it not, and will be accepted by not a few, and carried by them in their own homes and all parts of the world. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 122, 1909. Subheading, Tent Meetings in the Great Resorts. Tent meetings must be held in as many of the great tourist resorts, far and near, as the blank conference can work with the laborers that they have. If ever there was need of awakening to the importance of working in such places, it is now. Letter 138, 1902. Subheading, Where the People Are Coming and Going. A special work is to be done in places where people are constantly coming and going. Christ labored in Capernaum much of the time because this was a place through which travelers were constantly passing and where many often tarried. Review and Herald, July 12, 1906. Subheading, Workers for Tourist Centers. It is difficult to find capable young men and young women who can enter the cities and do effective service. In these tourist centers, where many travelers come for health and pleasure, we greatly need young men who are thoroughly grounded in the truth of the third angel's message to go around among the people and minister to them, speaking a word in season to this one and offering encouragement to another. Review and Herald, July 12, 1906. Heading, The Street Meeting. Subheading, Reaching Some by Open-Air Meetings. The cities must have more labor. There are places where the people can best be reached by open-air meetings. There are many who can do this line of work, but they must be clad with the whole armor of righteousness. We are altogether too delicate in our work, yet propriety and sound sense are needed. Special Testimonies and Appeal for Missions, page 15, 1898. Subheading, Problems of the Moving Throng. These open-air meetings may be held at times, and on special occasions will be the best means of reaching the people. But to make this a regular manner of labor will not at present secure the desired results. The laborer cannot make full proof of his ministry. A chance speech or discourse may set minds on a train of thought, which will, through other influences that may be brought to bear upon them, result in their conversion. But these cases are rare. Gospel Workers, pages 339, 340, 1892. In the open-air meetings, there cannot be that complete work done in binding off the work that he may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Sometimes great good may be done by this man of labor, but as a practice, it is better to reach the people in some other way. Letter 2, 1885. The presentation of Christ in the family, by the fireside and in small gatherings in private houses, is often more successful in winning souls to Jesus than are sermons delivered in the open air to the moving throng, or even in halls or churches. Gospel Workers, page 193, 1915. Subheading, Open Air Temperance Meetings. We ought to be at work in the dark corners of the earth. I have frequently stood in the open air to speak to companies gathered to hear me. I have seen women with children in their arms standing for an hour to listen to me. There are men and women all around me. I have asked them, how many of you have intelligent faith in Jesus Christ? How many are Christians? Those who are, hold up your hands. Not a hand would be raised. Did they not need Christ? Did they not need a knowledge of the truth? Did they not need to learn lessons of temperance? Indeed, they did. God wants us to stand where we can warn the people. He desires us to take up the temperance question. By wrong habits of eating and drinking, men are destroying what power they have for thought and intelligence. They do not need to take an axe and break into their saloons. We have a stronger weapon than this, the word of the living God. That will cleave its way through the hellish shadow which Satan seeks to cast athwart their pathway. God is mighty and powerful. He will speak to their hearts. We have seen him doing this. We have seen souls brought to the truth. General Conference Bulletin, April 23, 1901.